Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In today's passage, Solomon warned his son about what we would call con men, malicious swindlers that mask their treacherous hearts with cunning smiles. They are always plotting mischief and sowing discord, and they personify seven things that God hates. Therefore, destruction will eventually come upon them suddenly. Please open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study.
A naughty person, or literally a scoundrel, a wicked man, or in the Hebrew, a man of Belial, walks with a froward mouth. He winks with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. He teaches with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He sows discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. And so this naughty person, this scoundrel, this wicked man, is an individual who is evil, who is naughty, who is ungodly. Now, they may be successful in the eyes of the world, but God sees the heart. And here, the meaning of this wicked person, this naughty man, in the Hebrew is the same equivalent word that is used to describe Satan. He's a son of Satan. He walks with a froward mouth. His mouth is perverse. His language is contrary. He is one who is hurtful with his words. He is quarrelsome, crooked, willfully contrary, and divisive. According to James chapter 3, verse 6, his tongue is a world of iniquity. He winks with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. He teaches with his fingers. And all joking aside, one commentator put in parentheses, he must be an Italian. I don't know why, but that was a cheap shot, wasn't it? You know, why he singles us up. But we do. Winking with his eyes, speaking with his feet, teaching with his fingers. And the idea here is he's describing the person that has an intention to do mischief and harm. Frowardness is in his heart. He's willful and contrary in his heart. He devises mischief continually. You and I would call him a troublemaker. He sows discord. The sin of discord, dissent, or creating conflict intentionally is a theme that reoccurs over and over in Proverbs. And it describes an individual, he or she, who plants mental seeds of strife and contention with the purpose of instigating. You don't know any people like that, do you? And we know from what Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him. This individual sowing discord is because there is a wicked heart that intends to do harm with the words that they speak. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, we read, hatred stirs up strife. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, the person who sows discord is one who is called a whisperer. Angel, come here. Psst, psst, psst. Angel, come here. Did you hear? In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9 and 19, ladies, the one who sows discord is the contentious woman, the contentious wife. And Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10, the one who sows discord is called a scorner. In Proverbs chapter 26, verses 20 through 23, the one who sows discord is a person who has a burning lips. They are the individual who the proverb tells us, the son tells the father, Abba tells you and I, they are individuals who are to be marked and they are to be avoided. But notice, what they sow, they reap. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. The Family Bible Program says, the man who relies for success upon crooked and deceitful practices is alike odious to God and man, and his end will be remediless ruin. John MacArthur said, the results of iniquity can be irreversible. His punishment will fit his crime when God judges. God is love, but God is also holy. And because God is holy, and because God is just, there are things that he hates. And we, I believe Ben said it tonight, we ought to hate what God hates and love what he loves. Well, in verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and again, he that soweth discord among the brethren. God calls these things that he hates an abomination. And the word abomination is a Hebrew word that describes something that is disgusting, something that is a tragic mistake, a tragic misrepresentation of how God created you and I to live. At the top of the list, pride. A proud look, or literally it means a proud I. Pride is an abomination unto the Lord. He mentions eyes because that's the way we look at other people. We're better than them. That's pride. Want some names here? Pharaoh, Haman, Nebuchadnezzar, Herod, the Pharisees. The proud individual thinks that he or she is greater than other people. It's pride in the spirit that makes a person overestimate themselves and underestimate others. C.S. Lewis said, pride is the very nature of Satan that can be manifested behind the pulpit in a three-piece suit or in a bikini. Pride is the anti-God state of mind. It's not of the Father. God is consistently revealed in Scripture as being actively opposed to the proud in any way, shape, or form. Proverbs 16, verse 5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 5, God resisteth. He's actively opposed to the proud, but he gives grace unto who? The humble. So, a proud look he hates. He hates a lying tongue. Have you noticed that the Proverbs, in fact, the Bible itself, talks far more about the abuse of the human tongue than it does about alcohol or drug abuse? Far more. James 3 talks about the power of words, especially lying words that are damaging. Proverbs 28. 6 verse 28 says, a lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Our God is the God of truth. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. There is no lie in him. There is no darkness in him. And honesty is always the best policy for the Christian, even when it hurts. Not only because God commands it, but because dishonesty has a way of backfiring. Hands that shed innocent blood, oh my, oh my. What an indictment on abortion clinics, abortion doctors, pro-choice advocates. We could go on and on. We are a nation that is filled with hands that have shed innocent blood. The God of Scripture is pro-life, saints. Don't let anyone tell you anything differently. And the Bible is clear in Psalm 139 that life begins at the very moment of conception. Hands that shed innocent blood are an abomination to him. A heart that devises wicked imaginations describes a mind that is always plotting and planting mischief. And once again, we see it's a heart. When we talk about perverse language, or perverse thoughts or imaginations, it's a product of a corrupt heart. Notice that the heart is the very root of these things. Rather than thinking about wicked, evil things, Paul writes, I think we could use a little bit of fresh air from heaven. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, how we need to apply that to our lives, don't we? Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Proverbs 17:20 says, he that hath a froward heart finds no good, and he that has a perverse tongue falls into mischief. We're not to walk in the way of the wicked, and whenever we do, we're asking for trouble because it's something that God hates. A false witness who speaks lies is a bit different from the lying tongue mentioned earlier. Here's the difference. A false witness is the person who is really good at spreading rumors and half-truths as full-truths with the intention of assassinating the character of another person. God says he hates that. How many of you know that if anybody took the worst part of your life and condensed it to a one-hour CD, they could make you look as bad as Adolf Hitler? That's the person that is a false witness. They are intentional in destroying your character based on snippets of things that you have done, and they usually accomplish their purpose. The person that spreads a false witness about others is an abomination in the eyes of God. And once again, and he that sows discord among the brethren, among the company of the believers, the sin of strife, dissent, or creating conflict is a reoccurring theme in the book of Proverbs. Matthew Henry wrote that the person who sows discord aggravates everything that is said and done, suggests jealousies and evil surmisings with which they blow the coals of contention. Proverbs 15:18 says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs 16:28 says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. Remember what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? The Puritan John Flavel's comment on these verses are this: they are meant to be commented on with tears, not just with words. And Paul was concerned because of rivalry within the body of Christ. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. And Pastor Chuck Smith used to say at the early days of the Jesus movement, when the body of Christ is divided, who bleeds? His heart bleeds. His heart bleeds. So what's the solution to all of these things that God hates? If we were to hold the Word of God to our heart tonight, more than likely, we've been guilty of some of these. So what's the solution? Well, first of all, there is forgiveness with God when there is repentance. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way in the froward mouth do I hate." And what you and I need as a fellowship of believers, we need to pray that God would give us that holy fear of God. We need that. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. He moves on and says in verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart," notice, "and tie them about thy neck." Please note again, beloved, that the authority of parental instruction is mentioned with the hurtful and painful consequences of disobedience once given. You see, you know, as a son or a daughter, that your mom and dad may have given you good advice, wise advice, biblical advice. And how many of us suffered because we chose not to listen, not to obey? And here, God is telling us, I give you good instruction. I command you, write these words upon your heart. Tie them about your neck. When you go, it will lead you. When you sleep, it will keep you. And when you awake, it shall talk with you. Learning to hide God's word in our heart. And how often do we need to do that? I don't know about you. I need to do that every hour of every day. It's like a lifeline for me. It's like a spiritual GPS in this journey of life, because I can so easily wander in my mind, in my thoughts, in my attitudes, in my tongue, so easily. Because in my flesh dwells no good thing. And I need this GPS of God's word to not only convict me, but to bring me back to the path where I've been redeemed to walk in the narrow path that leads to life. The path of Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, meditating in his word day and night. Why? Because verse 23, "The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are a way of life." By the commandment, he means the totality of God's word. And by instruction, he means the preaching and proclamation of God's word. Proverbs 10:17 says, "He is in the way of life that keeps instruction, but he that refuses reproof errs." Proverbs 12:1, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hates reproof is brutish." And there's that flesh of us. There's that flesh that we have. When somebody corrects you, the initial thing is, oh, right? The old Adam. Well, who do you think you are? Maybe not you. If not you, pray for me. Because that you seems to be that instinct. It's just rampant. A teacher telling a student, a coach telling the guy on the team who thinks that they're all that in a bag of chips. Well, this is the way you got to do it. Reproofs of instruction are a way of life. All of us need to learn how to receive instruction from one another. And you know what I found amazing? Sometimes God will use individuals to speak truth into my life. I go, really? Correction and reproof are vital ingredients of growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, in context, notice what he immediately launches into. Again, we covered this in chapter 5. We will cover this, Lord willing, next week in chapter 7. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. One commentator said, "The penalty of sin is as certain as the laws of nature and far more terrible in its power. The youth who enters upon a course of impurity throws himself or herself into a consuming fire which will destroy both soul and body." 4 times in chapters 1 through 9, Solomon speaks to the problem of sexual immorality. There's nothing new under the sun. He says, "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." God's word tells us to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. In Matthew 5:29, Jesus tells us to take radical action when those lustful thoughts come into our mind. One commentator writes, quote, "Set standards for your relationships with the opposite sex and the entertainment to which you expose yourself. Don't be naive thinking that you can never fall sexually." The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Let him who thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall." All sexual sin is rooted in lust, or the imagination of the sinful act. This is squarely taught in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:27, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Before Jesus came on the scene, it was very common, as it is now, for men to think that it was okay to look as long as they did not touch. That's why Jesus made that statement. How we need to make, as it says in Job 31, verse 1, a covenant with our eyes, men and women. How we need to make a covenant with our eyes. Some people dangerously live by the philosophy that, quote, "It's okay to window shop as long as you do not buy." What a lie. What a lie. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.